Welcome to Season 12 of the Follow My Lead podcast, where each week I bring you stories and best practices of today's leaders to help you on your leadership journey. My name is John Eads. Here we go. Welcome back. I am excited you're here. And before we jump into our featured conversation this week, I have a positive announcement. I was made aware last week that I won an award from LinkedIn for 2017 Top Voices in Management and the Workplace. And it's something that I'm deeply humbled by and grateful for, to think of all the people building content and producing content on LinkedIn that were in the top 10 people in the world. It's very humbling. I know that we reached 2.2 million people on LinkedIn in this year alone, which, just think about that kind of impact from zero, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, is tremendous. But it doesn't go without the help of a lot of other people. So I want to publicly thank Christina Wilder, a huge important figure on our team that helps with ideation and content creation. Ashley Dulling, who helps editing our articles and kind of really pushes me to keep going. My wife, who is busy as can be, but she's been so supportive in what we're doing. It just wouldn't happen without you. Mark Houston on our team, he's the Swiss Army knife. The guy can do anything now that we need. And lastly, a woman that walked in my life a year and a half ago, named Connie Hawkins, that continues to push me and encourage me to keep going and to make a bigger impact on other people. I wouldn't be where I am without you, Connie. So thank you. Now, lastly, you, our listeners. This just doesn't happen without you. It doesn't happen without you coming back every week and listening, with sharing our episodes or reading our stuff on LinkedIn. None of this happens without you. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. I hope that this is just the beginning of making an impact on your journey and on your, particularly your leadership journey. This week's conversation with Logan Stout is out of this world. This guy is an absolute beast. He has a leadership conference coming up in February. I think it's the 23rd and 24th in Dallas, Texas, that I am thinking about going to. So if you are interested in this conference, we talk about it at the end of the show. I very well could be there. I'm working on changing some scheduling, but definitely check out the leadership conference. Should be a great event. In this conversation, we touch on some topics that matter so much. We touch on how to transfer belief, and Logan tells this story about a 10-year-old baseball player that is incredible. He gives the very best answer we've ever heard about what's harder, leading at home or leading at work. I know you're going to love this guy. He was phenomenal. So without further ado, here's my interesting conversation with the one and only Mr. Logan Stout. Well, Logan, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, great to be here, brother. Great to be here.
For people that don't know who you are, tell us a little bit about where you come from and what you're doing today, because you have so many different balls in the air in terms of businesses and the people that you're reaching.
Yeah, so I grew up in Dallas, Texas. Mom raised me and my little brother. Basically started working full-time at the age of 12, and multimillionaire in my early 20s. My journey has been everything from a minister to a professional baseball player, college baseball coach. And basically I was just, you know, I just kept having this tug for entrepreneurship. I just felt like, if I could increase my platform, have a larger platform, that would increase my influence. And that influence could allow me to help change people's lives for the better, right? To add value to people. And so now, you know, writing books, of course, Stout Advice, which is endorsed by, you know, John Maxwell, one of my best friends, and then Damon John and Barbara Corcoran are two sharks on a show called The Shark Tank, and amongst other people. So I do a lot of speaking and all that type of stuff, training. I love adding value to people through that. And of course, the whole LoganStout.com deal. But then I've got a bunch of companies that I own. And so I've got a health and wellness company called ID Life that keeps me very busy, you know, but it's a passion, you know, it's a passion to help people do life better physically, because, you know, for me to be free in life, I believe there's three components to being free in life from a worldly standpoint. One is you got to have money, obviously. Pretty hard to, you can't pay a toll tag, you know, with you know, paper. You got to have money. And you got to have time. You know, time is what allows you to do what you want, when you want, how you want, where you want, with whom you want. So money and time would kind of go hand in hand. But I think the one that people don't value enough is health. because you can have all the time and all the money in the world, but if you're not healthy, you're not free. And so to me, that trifecta of time, money, and health is what creates freedom in people's lives. So health and wellness is a passion of mine. My business partners are Ross Perot, his family, Darwin Deason, another billionaire here in Dallas, Troy Aikman, Pud Rodriguez, Hall of Famers. And so we got a great alignment there, great group of people. And so that keeps me busy. And, I've got a baseball organization. I'm involved with the Texas Rangers. And then a youth baseball organization called the Dallas Patriots. So we have indoor baseball facilities, about 100 coaches. And, every kid that's come through that program has gone on to play college baseball. Average about 8 major league draft picks a year. So
you're in so many.
I invest in a bunch of stuff. You know, for me, I just think it's anything I do, I ask myself, what's the return on time? I think a lot of entrepreneurs, especially young entrepreneurs, people that are in that, 20 to 40 age demographic, I don't think they really ask themselves the question, return on time. What's the return on time? So they get all excited about something, and there's always something missing. They can't put a finger on it. They feel like, man, I feel like I'm missing something. And so what happens is the fulfillment gap gets bigger and bigger and bigger in regards to what is needed, right? So, they go through the honeymoon stage, right? It doesn't matter what you do in life. When you first get started, you're going to be giddy and happy and, but eventually stage two is going to come, the adversity stage. And that's where the passion and the flame sort of flickers a little bit less because you're dealing with a lot of junk. And ultimately what powers people through that is you have to ask yourself, is this really the best return on time? Right. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, they just miss that. And so long-winded answer to what would seem like a simple question, what am I involved in? But every day that's a different answer, but there's one thing that kind of is the spoke in the wheel. The one thing that keeps it all in alignment and congruency. And that is if it's not adding value to people, whether it's health, whether it's kids, whether it's leadership, whether it's a company I buy, acquire, invest in that is providing solutions for people, whatever that may be, then I'm not interested because it's not for me. I'm going to lose passion for it. It can't just be money. You're going to lose passion for that. And so for me, it has to be something where I can look back and I can see testimonials. I can see that we didn't just play the game. We changed the game in that industry. And so for me, that's what fires me up. And so really, what's my business? Adding value to people. I think that's my business. I think when that's your focus, making money is pretty easy.
I couldn't agree with you more. I want to go back to your baseball. I think you have a long history, not only in the game, but then now helping develop other young men to not only play a great game, but you've probably learned a lot about teams, both from the successful teams and from the teams that didn't do so well. What lessons might you have from your baseball days that now you carry into your life every single day or that other people could take into life every single day?
Well, that's a great question. And I actually have a lot of those examples and I have a book coming out that I really highlight that. And that's a loaded question because there's a lot of answers. But here's what I know to be true. I've been fortunate to win 17 World Series titles. And when I look back on how we did that, we didn't always have the best players, okay? And I think talent is one of the most overrated thing, right? I mean, hard work beats talent unless talented people work hard, right? But there's a missing factor there that people really undervalue or they're just clueless about it. And that is the transfer of belief factor, right? And so when I was in college, I was named captain of the team, which was an honor, and right? Professional baseball, same thing. And then when I went into coaching, the common denominator was you have to instill belief. People have to believe in themselves, in the team, and in their coach, and the mission of the organization. And too many people are so focused on facts and figures. And that stuff's important. You got to master the fundamentals. But you can practice fundamentals all day long. And this equates to business, not just baseball, obviously. You can be the smartest accountant in the world. You can train the greatest group of real estate agents in the world. You can dominate facts and figures of nutrition labels for health and wellness company, all that stuff. That's important, okay? But that is layered on top of people believing that the mission is worth it, people believing that they can accomplish it, and people believing they're going to have a tribe around them when the going gets tough to help elevate them, right? And so when you look at baseball, what I love about it, it's such a game of adversity. right? As the old statement goes, you can fail 70% of the time and be a Hall of Famer. I was just in Cooperstown with Ivan Rodriguez. Pudge Rodriguez, for those of you not baseball fans, he's the greatest catcher in the history of baseball. And you may go, what about Johnny Bench? I was with Johnny Bench there. Johnny Bench and Pudge Rodriguez and I were together there.
Pudge was great.
Yeah, and Johnny said point blank, Pudge was a much better catcher than me. The fact that people even mentioned me in the name Ivan Rodriguez as best catchers in the game is an honor. And that's coming from the guy that, you know.
That set the standard.
He set the standard. And so, you know, I'm at the Hall of Fame, and here's what's so interesting about these Hall of Famers, right? So I'm sitting there with Nolan Ryan and all these guys. They're so humble, yet so confident, right? And I think baseball players have this unwavering confidence because you kind of have to be successful in that game, right?
When you strike out three times a game, yeah.
When you make three errors in an inning like Dan Uggla, right? And you still make the All-Star game, right? You gotta learn to shake things off pretty quick. At the same time, that you learn to appreciate your team. You know, individuals play the game, teams win championships. I actually have that written in my office right over here on the wall. And that's a friendly reminder that no matter how good you are, you're not that good. And every time I get interviewed on whether it's television, radio, magazine, I go, well, you're a self-made, you know, wealthy individual. How'd you do it? I go, first of all, let me correct you. There's no such thing as self-made, right? And baseball is a great analogy because you can execute the perfect pitch. If the catcher doesn't catch it and the batter swings and misses, he's going to get to first. It's going to be a pass ball, right? You can execute an incredible pitch, and if the shortstop doesn't make the play and roll the double play and get you out of the inning, right, makes an error, run scores. And everything else is synonymous. You can hit a double, but somebody's got to hit you in. And so I love the game of baseball because there's so many analogies and examples in life.
Sounds like it taught you teamwork. I mean, it really did. I mean, I know you've been a part of some great teams, but I want to go back to something you just said because I think it's a topic we haven't covered that much, which is transferring belief.
Yeah.
How does a leader go about doing that tactically? Because, I mean, when we hear you talk, Logan, I mean, the passion's there, man. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You got that. But transferring that to other people can be difficult. How do you go about doing that?
Well, that's a loaded question. I think ultimately that's one of the main things we do at the Leadership Summit that we can talk on later. But I believe in systematic approach. I believe success is by design, not by accident. And I believe the number one key to somebody moving forward is they gotta believe they can do it, right? It's the whole hope factor that Viktor Frankl talks about in Man's Search for Meaning. Great sure. book for all leaders. And ultimately, here's the bottom line. You got to cast vision, okay? So, you know, success happens in the mind before it ever happens in reality. We've all heard that. But the question is, how do you plant that? I'll give you an example. I'll give you a story. I'm in Puerto Rico coaching the Dallas Patriots, and we're the only team in the history of the United States of America mainland to go to Puerto Rico and win the World Series. And I think a big part of that, and I'm going to say this in kindness because Pudge Rodriguez is from Puerto Rico. He's like a god there, but they ain't checking birth certificates there. I'm just going to tell you that right now. So we roll in with this little group of 10-year-olds, okay? And we're legit 10-year-olds. And right. I'll never forget, when the championship game against Puerto Rico, they've never lost. They've never lost, right? And the guy pitching against us.
Danny Almonte?
He had to have driven up to the field. I mean, he had to have, right? I mean, he had a full beard. He was bigger than me. And so he's up there pitching, right? And I see his first warm-up pitch, and I'm going, we're not going to hit. I mean, what is this? Like, this isn't even – come on, right? Mm. Well, the good news is they had used him earlier. So we're now in the championship game. So he didn't have any innings left, really. So we're in the seventh inning, which for that age group is the last inning of the game. We're down a run, and they come in and bring him in to close the game, right? Well, we're our last hitter in the lineup, our nine hole. His name's Cameron. And the first pitch, I mean, Cameron gets up there and just immediately just done. Whatever belief he had, it was gone instantly, right? So as a leader, I'm sitting down there coaching third base, and I'm going, okay, I've got to raise the belief factor here. If this kid doesn't believe he can get a hit, we're going to lose. So part of the story I didn't tell you is we had a guy on second base. This kid came in relief. So we have a guy on second, tying run. So I call time after the second pitch because the second pitch, same result. Snowballs, two strikes. I call a little Cameron down to third baseline. I get on a knee, and I look him in the eye. I say, hey, buddy, how awesome is it going to be when you get the tying run, when you get a hit off this guy that no one expects you to hit off. You have nothing to lose, buddy. Everything to gain. How amazing is it going to be when you get that hit? At this moment, he wiped a tear off his cheek, and you could tell he was kind of getting there, but I wasn't all the way in. The transfer of belief was maybe about 30%. Mm-hmm. And I said, look at me. I said, if I didn't know for a fact that you were going to get a hit off this guy, I would have pitch hit for you. Somebody else would be in there to get the hit. I said, so I want you to listen to me very clearly. When you get this hit, all I ask out of you is give me a little tip of the hat when you get on base. And he kind of got a smile, and he goes, okay, coach, all right. Well, he starts walking back towards home, and I realize, okay, the belief factor is at about 90%. We're still missing it.
We were still missing 10%.
We're still missing a factor. So I call him back over. I say, Cam, come here. Well, there's 6,000 Puerto Ricans. If you've ever been to a game in Puerto Rico, they don't sit there like American fans, right? They have drums. They're beating on stuff. And, I mean, it's like, it's ridiculous. It's like, listen, I would have been nervous, and I wasn't playing. So fast forward, I go look at Cam and go, Cam, you got this. You got this. See ball, crush ball, buddy. You got this. I said, I want you to look out there right now. Tell me, where are you hitting this ball right now? Where are you going to hit it? And he goes, what do you mean, coach? I said, tell me where the ball is going to go. Call your shot. Tell me where it's going to go. I'll never forget, he looked at me. He goes, right center field. I said, all right, buddy, let's do this. Well, now he's walking back to home. And I'm in third base coach. I'm going, oh, dear Lord, please help him get it. Right? I'm going, oh, this doesn't work, right? This little 10-year-old gets up there, hits the tying run, double, to right center field. He gets on second. He gives me a little tip of the hat. And here's the end of the story. After the game, his mom, single mom, comes up to me, and she goes, I want to thank you for believing in my son. She's crying. And she goes, I want to thank you for believing in my son. And I looked at her. I said, ma'am, I didn't believe in your son. I didn't think there's a way in the world he's going to get off that kid. I said, but ma'am, here's the important thing. As a parent, as a leader, it doesn't matter if we believe. It's if that kid believed. And he believed. We transferred belief in that kid that he could get a hit. And that is how you become a great single mom. You got to believe in your son, yes, but most importantly, he has to believe in himself. As a leader, as you all are listening to this, I hope you'll understand. Yeah, you gotta believe in your folks, okay? So I'm having a wisecrack joke in regards to me not believing he'd get a hit. What I was doing is reverting the attention off of me so the son can get all the glory. And as leaders, when things go bad, that's when you take ownership. When things go good, that's where you cast recognition to somebody. Don't ever take the credit for good stuff. And so what I was telling that mom was, like, that's all your son. Don't thank me, right? Right. And so here's the point. Transfer of belief, you do have to. There's two keys to this. Number one, yeah, you have to believe in people. You have to believe that people can be better today than they were the previous day. And they can be better tomorrow than they are today. And if you don't truly believe that, that's a you problem, not a they problem. And your business is going to struggle. Your results are going to struggle. Because transfer of belief has to come from the heart. It can't come from the brain. And that's what leads to the second thing. You have to know that their belief factors is 100%. Right. And you got to read body language. You got to read performance. You got to see results. You have to have trackable measures, because you're going to know if they believe because of the way they carry themselves and the way they get results. Period. End of story. And as a leader, there are tactical ways to obviously do transfer belief that we don't have time for on this
right. podcast.
But I hope those two keys will.
Absolutely. I'd actually take it one step further, and that is the decisions that they make. I mean, we talk so much in terms of discipline to promote standards in order for an individual to choose to be at their best. Okay. Yeah. At the end of the day, it's about people making choices and taking ownership of those choices. And the fact that he chose, you helped him get there without question. He's not getting there without you. Yeah. But I love the fact that you didn't take the credit for it. You gave it right to that little 10-year-old. He'll remember that the rest of his life. And the best part of the whole thing, Logan, is that now all of our listeners are going to remember that story too. I mean, I will remember that story. I can't wait until we have a 10-year-old that I get to have that conversation with. So kudos to you. You mentioned earlier about John Maxwell, and anybody in the leadership space or anybody that has studied management and leadership in the last 50 years knows who John Maxwell is. Yeah. You've gotten to be close with John. Mm-hmm. What's one lesson that you've learned from that man that you carry with you today?
Well, there's a lot of them. If I were to and you're obviously a lot of people ask me, they go, what's he like? What's John like? And I'm like, he's the same guy on stage or in his books, as you'll see playing golf at Pebble Beach. Right. And here's the answer. The number one takeaway I got from him was add value to people. Find a way to add value to people. And I think the world has it backwards. They're always trying to find a way to get something. The world is so transactional. And I think what I learned most from him is just be relational. Truly love people, truly care people, truly find a way to add value to people. If someone asks you to be on a podcast, don't ask what's in it for me. Ask how can I add value to them, right? And I think that's the biggest thing I learned from him. Because when I was young and dumb, I would have never looked at business that way. I really wouldn't have. And you know, John's become one of my best friends in the world. And that's probably the biggest takeaway I've gotten from John is just focus on adding value to people and everything else will take care of itself.
Great lesson. Fantastic lesson. One of the things you don't know is I asked one of your team members about before we ever met, I said, what's Logan really like? You know, I mean, the stories are endless of the people that are out there motivating other people or speaking in public. And then, you know, you get behind the camera, you get behind the curtain and they're just an absolute ass. Okay. And I asked one of your team members, I said, what's Logan really like? And they said to me, I've never met a person more genuine in my life. Mm. And to hear a team member say that about you, one, how does that make you feel? And then number two, what are some of the things that you're doing on an everyday basis in all of your businesses to have that kind of genuine impact on people? Because that's the only way they're going to go sell your IDC products and the only way that they're going to keep coming back to the academy. And the only way they're going to keep coming back to LoganStout.com is the genuine nature that you came to this podcast with. How does that make you feel? And how do you do it every single day?
You know, that's humbling. I had no idea you asked somebody and I'm glad you didn't ask the wrong person. I think the short answer is, I think when you're just, the famous quote, just be yourself, everyone else is already taken. You know, I grew up very shy, very timid, always trying to not mess up. And you know what I learned was easier is when you know whose you are, it's pretty easy to know who you are. When you just operate from that paradigm of this unwavering confidence combined with an unwavering humility, I don't know why you wouldn't want to be genuine, you know? And to me, when you're just honest and genuine and authentic, I think you're more believable. I think you're more compelling and people want to be around that. I think especially in today's world and social media, and I hope you all will connect with me on social media. If I can add value to any of you, please let me know. Just message me. I actually check my own social media myself. It makes me feel incredible because in fact, with John Maxwell, I'll never forget. John and I are sitting there having dinner one night with our wives. And I think my wife asked John, what's the thing you're most proud of? That's what my wife asked John. Mm. You're most proud of? And I'll never forget John Maxwell's reply. He goes, you know what I'm most proud of? Those that are the closest to me respect me the most. Boy, I know. I just sat there and went, wow, that's good. You know, because I think the world is so, especially with social media and the way people are so focused on putting off this image or this front or right. They're more focused on how many followers they have on social media than how many leaders they create in reality. And so, you know, when John told me that, I looked at my wife, I said, you know, I kind of echo that. I think anybody that's really close to me, I think that's probably one of the things I'm most proud of is when I look at my executive teams, like at ID Life.
Right.
You realize I have the same exact executive team today as I have when I launched the company? In a day and age where the average person doesn't stay in the same company for more than 3.5 years, I have everybody. There's not a single, the only people that are not here was our choice or they moved. Like something led, and that's not to say it won't happen, knock on wood,
right.
Get off this podcast and somebody come in and resign. But I think ultimately, I think when you have, remember this, vision is where you're going, but your culture is who you are. And you can't fake your who. Mm-hmm. Companies aren't built on products and all that stuff. They're built on who. Because the who are the ones who make the products. The who are the ones who sell the products. And when you're genuine, authentic, the right culture is the law of attraction. It attracts who you are, not what you want, right? The wrong culture, right, brings in a hodgepodge of who know what's. But the right culture repels the wrong, attracts the right. And so I think if I'm genuine, which is, it's one of the things I pride myself on. So it's an honor that other people would pick up on that. I expect that the team to be genuine too.
Yeah. And yeah. Awesome. Part of the culture.
They're going to tell. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it would be doing a disservice to not ask you this question for our audience, someone that has kind of to go back to the entrepreneurial stuff, and that is you've built multiple businesses now. And I think a lot of people struggle with, I have a successful business or I've started something good. When do I go do another thing, or do I have time to do another thing?
Yeah.
And I know that's a deep question, but I'm curious to get your take on when is the right time and how did you know when the right time to go start an ID Life was? I mean, did it, because I know a lot of people struggle with that. Do I do this one thing my whole life, or do I take what I learn and go start something new?
Well, you know, they call someone with more than three priorities, right? Someone with no priorities. So the problem
you're approaching that, huh?
The problem with most, entrepreneurials is they're an entrepreneur, right? Their greatest strength is their greatest weakness, right? And here's the deal. If I could give people some coaching advice on how to not create a bunch of average entities, is whatever you go start, there's got to be an integrity factor behind it. And don't confuse integrity. Integrity is the most overused, misunderstood words. Integrity means simply this. Everything you do, everything you say, you actually believe it. Okay? So an entrepreneur starts a business. Business XYZ. I'm just telling you point blank, they're going to get bored with it at some point in time. It's just in an entrepreneur's, it's in your DNA, right? So and what happens with most entrepreneurs is their main business, they take it for granted as they go try to start other ones. And then their main business ends up paying for their new business. And that ends up failing. And now they end up right back where they started with less time, less money, more headaches. And here's the biggest problem. They lose key team members. Right? Because leadership is present. If you're not present, you're not leading, right? It is what it is. You got to be present. And so here's the answer. When you go launch other companies, don't chase rabbits. Make sure there's some kind of integrity quotient to what you're already doing. If you built a successful enough business or enterprise to go start another one, then stay focused on what you do well. I'll give you a great example. There was a guy I mentor clients one-on-one that are, you know, fairly successful individuals and stuff. And he's built a very successful real estate firm, one of the biggest ones in the world. And so he comes in every month and I mentor him. He's thinking about starting another company. And I said, okay, what's the industry? It had nothing to do with real estate.
Right, right.
Nothing. And I said, okay, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but here's what I can promise you. You're not going to succeed at that because you don't know that space. You're chasing the new shiny object. Which is normal. In basketball, every center wants to play point guard. Shaquille O'Neal is one of my buddies, and Shaq. You know, if you remember back in his day, for those of you who don't know, he's a Hall of Fame center. That means he's the tall guy that stays under
7'3", size shot, 20 right? feet. Yeah.
Exactly. He would always want to dribble the ball up the court, right? He'd want to play point guard. And it's funny, every point guard wants to go post up, right? They want to go play center. And that's how entrepreneurs are. The new shiny object, it gets their heartbeat going, right? They get excited and fired up about it. And it becomes a huge life distraction that creates stress. That's just what happens, right? I mean, I've got three billionaire partners and every one of them became billionaires because they stay focused on the main thing. And they built other companies off of the main thing that had something to do with the main thing. So there was congruency, there was integrity, there was synergy amongst all those entities. And so as entrepreneurs listening to this, I hope you'll really take that to heart. And instead of focusing on what you do, because that's going to get boring, I promise you. Focus on why you do it. It's the difference between success and significance. Success is getting what you want. Significance is helping other people get what they want. Use whatever company you created to help make this world a better place. And when you focus on that, you'll never get bored. But most entrepreneurs, they're so locked in on the what, and they're so locked in on the money it can create that they lose everything.
Yeah,
and it is what it is.
Well, incredible. I mean, just insightful advice. Two of my favorite questions, and on some fun stuff. I certainly want to talk about the big leadership summit you have coming up in February. My favorite question to ask, though, what's harder, leading at work or leading at home?
Well, here's the deal. I don't know a person that can lead at work successfully. And to me, the definition of success is reaching your God-given potential, right? Reaching your maximum potential. So I don't care what you've done. I care about what you could be doing, right? To me, that's success. And so here's the thing. I don't know how a human being can be a successful leader in the workplace when they got World War III going on inside their house. I don't know how that happens, right? Because if you got stress at home, yeah, you work may be your escape, but you have stress subconsciously. You don't even realize it's tearing you down. And that negative energy you're taking into the marketplace, and people can feel it. Now you're not closing as many deals as you were, right? People are not attracted to you like they were. You're attracting the wrong kind of people, right? If you were a 10, now you're attracting fives and sixes, right? And so I don't mean that to mean you're better than other people. I mean capacity.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I can tell you this, man. Every single day, I start my day the same exact way. Every single day. And I just believe that's critical. I feed my mind the right things. I believe your mind is like a grocery store. Your mind is produce. It expires. And it's critical that you're always refreshing your mind and restocking your mind with what is true. Because if you don't, the world's going to fill your mind with a bunch of garbage. You either make your way in the world or the world makes its way in you. And here's what I can tell you. The more successful you get, the more people that are going to be clinging to you. And the more people that are going to be telling you how great you are. But listen, you're not great. So get over yourself, right? No entrepreneur is that great. And then what you do is you take your wife for granted or you take your husband for granted because they're not telling you how great you are every day you walk in the house. And if they are, well, God bless you, okay? But I know this, when you're in the business place, right, you're chasing bullseyes, people are telling you how great you are, you have people answering to you, which that should never be your modality, but you understand what I mean by that. And when you get home, your wife, at least for me, I got twin five-year-olds, right? When I get home, my wife's looking at me going, can you please help me? Right. Can you please, you know, and our twins are hilarious because we've been blessed. We've made millions and millions of dollars. So we got a house that's, you know, it's big. And so our kids strategically find toilets as far as away as they can from each other. And they strategically take a dump at the same exact time. And then they strategically scream as loud as they can. What? Right. And so which bathroom are they in? Where are they? We're trying to find them, you know? And so my point is this.
Real life, man. Real life.
Really. Like, way to do it. And so at the end of the day, here's what I want you to know. Caution. If you don't have kids yet, you know, or maybe you never want to, you can still use the example, right? It's you have to understand. If you focus on adding value to your wife or your husband or your children, right, everything's going to be great. But if God can't trust you, and I'm not trying to get all spiritual with you, but I'm a man of faith. If you cannot be trusted with your husband or spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is, to treat them with the respect they deserve. If you're managing that relationship, no, and by the way, no one has ever woken up and go, you know what I want today? I want to be managed. Right. Whatever. Right? No one. Right? People want to be led. People want to collaborate. People want to do life together. Right? You know, I know for me, I do date night every week with my wife. And I'm going to be honest with you. There's times I don't feel like doing date night. I'm exhausted. I don't want to do date night. Okay, but I got to do it. I mean, if I want our marriage to grow, right, I've got to be intentional. Most people accidentally exist through life versus intentionally grow through life. Success takes intentionality. And so I know for me, and I know I'm getting long-winded here, but this is something I'm very passionate about.
No, it's the best, man.
Yeah, I mean, you got to focus on the main thing. The main thing has to be the main thing. And I can tell you, my wife and my kids, they are the main thing from a worldly standpoint. They are my thing. And when life is great in the home, right, businesses, I walk into the office fired up, man. If I get an argument with my wife over something, which you always do, and if you don't get arguments with your spouse, you're lying, okay? Right. And so when I get an argument with my wife, I'll tell you what, I bring that into the office place. And not even intentionally. There's been times I've got to get to the office. I got to get away from this, man. I've literally said that. I got to get away from this crap. I'm going to the office, right? Right? And you know what's interesting? I have a shorter fuse. I'm more agitated, right? I may fly off. You know. So here's the point. Take care of your house. Mm-hmm. Create a story. You can make money. It's not hard to make money. That's easy. And making money is a piece of cake, especially in today's world, right? But it's hard to make a family. And remember, don't just being an inhabitant in the same house doesn't mean you're a family.
Right.
And there's a lot of couples that are more like roommates than they are couples. And for those of you that aren't married yet, I hope you can, I'm giving you the.
They'll get it one day. Don't.
Yeah, you'll get it. But I'm telling you, remember what we talked about. Yeah. So don't go down the wrong road. Right.
Yeah.
And so obviously I think leading in business, it's not easy, but it's a heck of a lot easier living in the house or leading in the house. I believe.
I think it's just an incredible answer. Let's talk about the big leadership summit you have coming up. I know this is a new event, February. Tell us a little bit about it. What's going to be happening. Certainly our audience would be interested in, I'm sure, particularly if they're in the area.
Yeah, you know, I have a lot of dear friends that you know their names, I'm not going to say their names, and they speak and they're motivational speakers. I'm not a motivational speaker. I believe a motivational speaker gets you fired up. Next day you wake up, you don't remember why. You know what I mean? A motivational teacher, they're talking from practical application. They're giving you an absolute roadmap with a bullseye at the end of it, right? Because of life experience. You know, everything I've done, everything I teach on, I've done. I didn't read it in a book and I'm not regurgitating it, right? I've done it and I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And so really the whole Logan Stout platform with Stout Advice, which are free weekly videos that come out by like 2 minutes. They come out on Mondays just to get your headspace right on a Monday. And then we have Stout Mentoring, the personal growth platform. Every month I have celebrity guest Q&As, book of the month, whole nine yards. It's $24.95 a month, $24. And all the money goes to charity. The only reason I charge is so people will get on it, right?
Right.
So what's happened is all these people have been wearing out, blowing out our team at Logan Stout. So when is Logan going to host an event open to the public? Because I get hired, you know, a ton of times every year to go to corporations and I go speak and train at events, but the public can't come. So the Leadership Summit is coming February 22nd, February 23rd, Stonebriar Country Club. We just opened enrollment and it's already halfway sold out. So there's spaces limited. And I did that on purpose because I want it to be an intimate group, right? Speaking in front of 20,000, we do that all the time. I want this to be a small group of people that really want to change the game. And so I'll bring in celebrities and you name it, and it'll be a really fun event. We don't like to promote celebrities because I don't want anybody coming to the event because of that. I want people coming because they want substance, right? They don't want a rah-rah fest. They want substance going, how can I do life better? And that's what the Leader Summit is going to be about. It's a two-day event. VIP option is the 21st. Come in, play golf with me at the club. We do dinner at the Cowboys Club. Jerry Jones might join us. If you hate him, then I'll tell him not to come. But we'll do that. It is what it is. So we'll do that on the 21st. So if you wanted to be a part of that, go. But everything's at loganstout.com. You can email info@loganstout.com. And what a lot of corporations do, the CEO brings their whole C-suite or their sales team. So a lot of folks, what happens is they'll bring 5 to 10 of their team.
Right.
So we can have alignment around the mental, spiritual, physical, financial, emotional, and relational bullseyes, roadmaps. And it's awesome, man.
And I'm excited for you. It sounds like a great event. We'll make sure to link to it in the show notes if you're listening and put it in the right places. Logan Stout, we are so happy that you joined us. I think your wisdom and your walk is going to help others. So we thank you for taking the time out today.
Honored to be honored, brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Follow My Lead podcast. It would mean a great deal to us if you would share this episode with your friends or your colleagues, anyone that you think could help develop and grow as a leader, which in my estimation is everyone. So until next time, be a good leader at home and at work.